Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul and Adam. Jor has the day off. She'll be back tomorrow. My thanks to Adam Carter for hanging out, for loitering along with us this afternoon.
Loitering.
Yeah.
Hanging around. Clinging along.
Clinging. That's a good word. Yeah. I cling on a good day. Yeah. Hey, the big story, a lot of people still talking about Michael, and many of us may know friends, family that were in the path of this thing. Adam, at last report, Michael is still a tropical storm just northwest of Raleigh, North Carolina. The winds are still 50. Most of North Carolina and most of Virginia under flood warnings right now, still some tornado warnings from the remnants of this thing. Which is charging northeast, where there's going to be some flooding in Washington, D.C. The swamp is about to get swampier here overnight tonight. So this thing is still wreaking havoc with flooding rains well inland. But it hit yesterday almost a Category 5. The winds were 155. Category 5 starts at 157. So we're splitting hairs here, but no question it was the third most intense hurricane to strike the United States on record, the strongest since Camille, which also hit the Gulf Coast. It hit coastal Mississippi back in 1969. It hit the Florida Panhandle. Of course, we're talking about Michael now as a very strong Category 4. And what caused most of the devastation, we mentioned this in the 3 o'clock hour, was the water, this battering ram of water known as the storm surge, where the tides rise, in this case, 8 to 10 feet above normal tide levels. And then you have crashing waves on top of that surge. So you just can't imagine the power of water. And this thing pushed, in some cases, a quarter mile, half a mile inland, almost like a slow motion tidal wave as this thing came ashore. And then you've got the winds inland, hundreds of miles inland, reports of trees down, power outages, 900,000 people without power, an 81-mile-long stretch of Interstate 10 still closed in Florida because of downed trees. So they're trying to get the interstate back open again. But unimaginable destruction across much of the Florida Panhandle into portions of Georgia, and even some wind damage and certainly flooding damage into the Carolinas, where the last thing they needed, Adam, after Florence.
Yeah, they're still dealing with Florence.
More torrential rains. But I mentioned this, too. Just meteorologically, you see a lot of things that make you shake your head. And I don't think any of us living in Minnesota can really wrap our brains around what a Category 4, Category 5 hurricane is like. But it's really, when that eye wall, and that's the area, sort of a donut shape right around the eye, when that comes ashore, it is the rough meteorological equivalent of a tornado. But in this case, it's a tornado that's 40, 50 miles wide. And instead of a tornado that lasts a few seconds, as they do here, this thing lasted for the better part of 60 to 90 minutes with sustained winds of 120, 130, 140. So you got the wind damage, you got the water damage from the storm surge. It's amazing that anything is left standing. And I noticed the high-rise condos are still upright, but a lot of the wood frame homes that weren't elevated, that weren't up on stilts, those things, many of those homes are now kindling in Panama City.
I mean, there's nothing resembling what used to stand there. And you hear some of these stories. I saw this story, CNN was talking to this guy who was in Mexico Beach. He said he was in his house with his 72-year-old mother, and the flooding started happening. He heard initial reports of 6 to 9 feet. He said it was 9 to 12 feet easy. He was outside of his bedroom window upstairs, started flooding downstairs, told his mother, who was 72, to come upstairs, hid in a closet with his mother. Then the floor started sinking away from them because there was so much water coming up that the floor basically just melted beneath them. I can't imagine what that must be like.
That is surreal. And you know what? If you're ever stuck in that situation, if you're in the Caribbean, if you're in Florida and a hurricane is approaching and you can't or won't evacuate inland, what they tell people is if you can get into a hotel or even a commercial building, I would want to ride this thing out in a newer constructed concrete and steel reinforced hotel. And you want to get up at least up to the second, preferably the third or fourth floor. You want to get into the interior of the hotel because many times the outer windows are broken by the winds and by debris that's caught up in the winds. So a well-constructed hotel or commercial office building, second, third, fourth floor, and you can ride out and survive any hurricane. Unlike a tornado, you don't want to get below grade. You don't want to be in the basement because you'll die of flooding. As the water comes in, you want to get up in a hurricane. And they tell people, look, and this is the part that still makes me just baffled. They tell people, if you're going to stay behind and you're going to ride this thing out and ignore the warnings, make sure you take an axe. You know why they tell people to take an axe with them?
So they can cut their way out of whatever left of their home? Who am I to say? I don't know.
You're exactly right. If you're on the top floor of your home and the water is still rising, you have to get on the roof. And so people get up, and this has happened countless times, and people have died because they can't break through and get on the roof where they at least have a chance of being rescued. So they say, take your axe with you so you can chop a hole through your roof and escape onto the roof.
God.
So, and again, people are connecting the dots. You know, was this made worse by warming? I don't pretend to know. It's a little early to be connecting those dots. All I can say is that water temperatures in the Gulf were about 4 degrees warmer than average for the second week of October. And the warmer the water and the deeper the layer of warm water, the greater the potential for intensification. It's a little like when you're driving down the highway and the speed limit is 55. Well, you're changing the speed limit. Instead of 55, now it's been raised to 70 because there's more warm water, more fuel for these things to strengthen faster. And the intensification was amazing. And it even caught the National Hurricane Center off guard. They thought this thing would hit as a Category 3. It was almost a Cat 5 when this thing came ashore. And we're seeing more of that in recent years where we get these quick blips of strengthening, rapid intensification as they pass over these eddies of unusually warm water. So we'll see. But again, it's certainly of concern for people that live on or near the coast. But this thing is still causing flooding, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles inland. And we're going to be hearing more about Michael. In many cases, you know, it's a little like Florence. It's going to take months, in some cases years, for some of these people, some of these towns to recover. And FEMA will come in. They'll dump in more money. Insurance rates will go up. And then the next hurricane will hit. So the question comes up, you know, how often does this happen before people start evacuating some of the most vulnerable barrier islands that get whacked every few years? Because all of us, if you pay taxes, where does that FEMA money come?
Yeah,
it comes from us.
Yep.
So at some point, you're going to see kind of a slow motion migration away from some of the most vulnerable parts of the U.S. coastline. And it's sad to see that, but I fear it's inevitable.
Yeah. Well, much the weather situation up in Duluth, not nearly as devastating, of course, as Hurricane Michael. But it was quite a scene up in Duluth yesterday, and they're still cleaning up from Lake Superior, which pushed ashore due to some heavy winds. And coming up after the break, Paul, we're going to be talking to Keith Hammer. He's the acting city administrator in the city of Duluth. He's going to tell us about those waves and what they're doing up in Duluth. Stay with us. It's 521 Adam Carter in for Jordana Green and Paul Douglas on WCCO. 523 WCCO. Don't forget, join WCCO before Minnesota and Arizona this Sunday from our tailgate party across 6th Street from U.S. Bank Stadium at Eric the Red. Enjoy some pregame beverages, score some tickets, enjoy a live DJ on the Nick'em Dock stage. 9 a.m. until you head to the game directly across U.S. Bank Stadium from 6th Street there from the stadium at Eric the Red. Well, Duluth yesterday, you probably saw a lot of those photos. High winds pushing waves into the harbor. Just a dramatic scene. They had to close off Canal Park Drive for a while. I know the water was coming up, flooded the business district up there. And we're talking to Keith Hamry. He is acting city administrator for the city of Duluth. Keith, thanks for taking some time to talk to us today here on WCCO.
You bet. Thank you very much.
So what's the latest there? Has the wind died down? Are the waves still pushing in to Canal Park?
Well, the wind has died down, and the waves into Canal Park have subsided. So it's a little bit calmer, but the water is kind of murky looking from stirring up all of the sediment on the bottom of the lake. So it's, but today we've been out looking at some of the damage that we have. So Keith, it's quite startling to see what it has done to the lake walk and some of the other amenities that we have here in Duluth.
Keith, this is Paul. I'm always in awe of Lake Superior and how much respect you need to have for that body of water, Lake Gichigumi. This was pretty well predicted, right? I mean, the Duluth National Weather Service had gale warnings out. I mean, we knew there was going to be a significant amount of wind with this thing, but were people caught off guard by the waves and the wind?
Well, I don't think we were caught off guard. You're right, it was predicted. I don't think we anticipated the amount of energy. 12 to 15 foot waves, sometimes up to 18 foot waves. Wind speeds around 59 to 60 miles per hour recorded on one of the ships. So it was a little bit of a stronger storm than we anticipated. And I think for us, we had this same type of storm almost a year ago, and we still had not been able to make all the repairs to the lake walk that we wanted to make. So unfortunately, that storm a year ago kind of took away some of the armor stone that was adjacent to the lake and kind of exposed, and a storm with more energy really did some damage.
Yeah, the last year's storm did about $10 million in damage, right? I mean, how much did it set you back yesterday?
We don't know yet, but it's going to be a very large number. I'm not sure if it's going to be quite that high, but it may approach somewhere near that number. We're doing our assessment work now. And towards next week, we'll know better what that dollar amount might be.
Keith, we've been talking about the storm surge, 8, 10, 12 feet associated with Hurricane Michael. We have our own little mini storm surge when we have these wild storms that whip up, especially this time of year, especially over Lake Superior and the Northland. Are there limits to how much we can protect infrastructure from these battering waves? I mean, when people say just build a higher seawall, it's not that easy, right?
No, it's not that easy. The sesh, or the surge of the water in the lake, really pushes up, and then the wave action and the energy behind that wave action. And, what we've seen, I think, with the storm last year and this one yesterday and the one we also had in April, the sustained energy of the lake is just amazing. And it really, yesterday morning at about 9 o'clock, we thought, well, this doesn't look that bad, but over the course of the day, that amount of energy just kept releasing, and it did more damage after 9 o'clock yesterday than we originally anticipated and thought we would see. So it's just, yeah, you're right. You cannot necessarily protect against that kind of storm and storm surge, but we're going to step back and take a look at what might be a more sustainable ability to put back the amenity of the lake walk.
We're talking to Keith Hamry. He's acting city administrator in the city of Duluth, and Paul mentioned it, and a lot of people feel this way. They're in awe of the power of that lake, and they're drawn to it. In fact, I'm seeing some of these pictures and the videos yesterday, and I said to myself, I'd love to be there and see that. And I know there were a lot of people kind of comfort yesterday. Was that a big problem?
Well, that was a problem. We were very concerned, and You know, there's, I think, this phenomena these days, people want to try to take those exciting pictures with their cell phones and do selfies. Mm-hmm. And we tried to ask people to really stay away from that because we didn't want anybody to be harmed. And luckily, we didn't hear any reports of anybody being harmed, although a number of people did get kind of washed around in some of the parking lots down in Canal Park. And one of the concerns we had, too, with people being in Canal Park was with that flooding, the potential of a manhole being dislodged and someone getting stuck in a storm sewer manhole or falling in and hurting themselves. So luckily, we didn't have any of that, but it's always a big concern, and we really tried to put the word out and ask the public to kind of be careful, take care of themselves. And now, you know, we're looking at, we've got a temporary closure of our lake walk from the lighthouse lot, which is right next to the aerial lift bridge, all the way around to Leif Erickson Park. We've got that temporarily closed while we finish our assessments of the damage and also try to do some repairs to be able to reopen it.
But stating the obvious, the city of Duluth is open for business, welcoming tourists. You shouldn't be precluded or prevented from heading to Duluth here in the coming days, right?
Nope, that's correct. You know, yesterday Canal Park businesses were closed, but they're open for business today. They've cleaned up all of the flood water that they had, and they're open for business. And people will want to come up and see the lake and see what kind of damage it left. And there's some very safe viewing areas to do that, so we really want to invite people up because while we did get a little bit of snow this morning, there's still a lot of gorgeous leaves to come up and see.
Keith, how long have you been in Duluth your whole life? And if so, have you ever seen anything like yesterday?
Well, I am a Duluth lifelong Duluth resident, and I've been working for the city of Duluth for about 21 years. And I've not seen, except for like last year, I've not seen a storm of this much energy and magnitude that we saw yesterday.
Wow.
Wow.
Impressive.
It was rather something.
Keith Hamray, acting city administrator. Did I give you a raise, a promotion?
Nope, that's my current title at the moment.
I'll take a raise if you're giving them out, Paul.
Wish I had that power. Hey, Keith, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you up in Duluth, okay?
Very good. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Wow. I mean, people were Adam, yesterday people were complaining about the winds in the metro, and yeah. I'm like, you have no idea how bad it can be.
Oh, just in those videos, just seeing some of that, like I said, even further upshore, too, like Split Rock Lighthouse, the waves crashing there, and the spray from those waves shooting up the cliff. I mean, we're talking about almost a couple of hundred feet up above Split Rock Lighthouse. That had to be a sight to see, but yep. Just jaw-dropping power of that lake and just how dangerous it can get in a short time is just something else.
Speaking of dangerous, are we going to talk about Jimmy?
We are. We want to get some fan input here. Now, we talked about it a little with Mike Max, a lot of more drama mm-hmm. today. But is this just another example of a spoiled rich athlete? Or where's the blame here? I think there's a little more blame to go around than that. But we'd love to get fans' input. So if they want to give us a call, 651-989-9226, or send us your text, 866-989-9226 if you're outside of the metro, or give us your text, 81807. We're going to be talking about that following the news, traffic, and weather. It's all coming up. Paul Douglas, Adam Carter on a Thursday afternoon, 5:32. This is WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing.
Oh, Jimmy Butler being completely honest with ESPN's Rachel Nichols yesterday. As the drama continues with Jimmy Butler and the Wolves, he also says, look, it's about passion.
I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, that's Jimmy Butler. If he wants to be honest, let's be honest. You want more money. You say you want to go. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm getting fired up, Paul. You know me.
No, I
die hard in the Wolves fan, and I can barely take it.
But, you know, I'd like to see the soundtrack from Lady Gaga, yeah. A Star Is Born.
Yes.
Maybe playing underneath as we continue this rant, because what am I missing here? I mean, he's not being paid to be honest. He's being paid to win games for the Timberwolves. He's being paid to be part of a team. It's not just one person, right? It takes a couple of guys right. doing it right.
No, we've had
to win a championship.
And we've had superstars here before. See Kevin Garnett, who didn't have the pieces around him to win a championship. And we had to bid goodbye to him to go win one in Boston. But here's the thing. Jimmy Butler, was he being a diva? Yes. Was he being overly dramatic? Yes. Did he orchestrate this whole thing over the last 2 days because he hasn't been able to get the trade that he's demanded? Absolutely yes. But at a certain point, he's one of the 15 best players in the National Basketball Association, in the association, as we like to call it.
Right.
So maybe, you know what? He's demanded a trade all summer long. They didn't get it done, and this is on the Wolves, I think, too. So, yeah, you can criticize all you want, saying, you know, these spoiled brat basketball players, spoiled athletes nowadays doing all this. Guess what? That's what's going on nowadays. And that's part of the deal you get. So you either take the talent and you take the drama with it, or you don't, and you put a mediocre product on the basketball court two or three nights a week.
Yeah, but we don't hear about this every day in the NHL or I mean, the NFL, I mean, do we have this kind of drama?
Oh, I think we
on
do.
On the Vikings? Where teammates, you know, you may not like a certain teammate for whatever reason, but you're still going to go out and pretend you're a team and try to work together
yeah.
to win games. What am I missing here?
I don't think you're missing much. By the way, we'll welcome your calls, 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. If you've got an opinion on this, if you think this is all on mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, maybe you think it's all on the Timberwolves. I mean, the reports yesterday said that you know, he's been telling them all summer long that as soon as the season was over, he didn't fly back with the team when they lost to Houston. Obviously, there's something there. Tibbs knew something was up. So they knew very early on in the process they probably didn't want to be around anymore. That for whatever reason, if you think because he's not the guy, they weren't paying him the money that he wanted. Or if he looked around the locker room and saw, look, these other guys have tremendous talent. Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, these guys have tremendous talent, but they don't yep. work hard. Maybe that's the possibility. If that's the case, then move them. Get what you can, even early on in the season. Now they're stuck. They're stuck, and I think a lot of the blame, you can look at Jimmy Butler and saying, you know what, you're getting paid, grow up, this is your team, play with your team, but I think a lot of blame goes back into the Timberwolves here and falls on the laps of the folks that, you know, didn't get the deal done. But like you were saying, Paul, it does happen in other leagues. I mean, you look at the perfect example in the NFL right now is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Le'Veon Bell, great running back, dual threat running back, and catch the ball out of the backfield. He's held out. He still hasn't played a down yet in the NFL this year, probably their best superstar on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He held out saying, you need me. You need me. And if you're not going to, you know, pay me what I want, I'm not going to play for you, and we'll see how you do without me. And guess what? They've struggled. And a lot of people look at Le'Veon Bell saying, boy, what a terrible thing to do on your team. But at the same time, look at the team's struggles without him. So, I mean, this is something that goes on with athletes nowadays. You can say, you know, I hate it. This is exactly what's wrong with professional sports. But guess what? That's what's happening.
Well, the amount of money in play, and I understand the principle of self-interest. You do things that are in your best interest, but at what point do you suck it up and say, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the Timberwolves and fans, and they're still paying me a ton of dough, and maybe I can be traded next year, but I'm going to put on a good face and I'm going to do the best I can with what I have.
And we have the we got the conspiracy theories too, that this is all part of the plan by Jimmy Butler, that maybe it was Jimmy Butler and Coach Tom Thibodeau behind the scenes to try to, you know, motivate his team in what would be the strangest way possible. But that is one of those ideas floated out there. We got some texts coming in. By the way, 81807, if you want to text in your thoughts, or you can give us a call, 651-989-9226. Texter says, I think Butler's trying to help get Tibbs fired, so they have to buy out his contract. And another texter says, somebody needs to take Jimmy Butler over the lap and give him a good spanking. What a crybaby. Honor your contract. for God's sakes. So that's just some of the thoughts we have there.
What would you tell Coach Thibodeau? What would you tell Glenn Taylor if you had a chance? What would your message be to them? What should they do next?
Well, I think you look at Glenn Taylor, the owner of the team, who said apparently, I think he's probably a little more than miffed if his superstar that they drew here last year wanted to get a trade from the team early on in the summer, and you had all summer long to probably get something done. Yeah, the fans aren't going to like it and saying, boy, you know, we thought we turned the corner last year when we got Jimmy Butler to bring us to the playoffs. That did happen. Despite his injuries, they still made the playoffs in a dramatic way. But now suddenly he doesn't want to be here anymore. Yeah, that's going to set your program back. And Tom Thibodeau, of course, he doesn't want to deal with that either. We're getting some calls here, so let's go to Karen. Karen is on line one. Karen, what's your thought on this? Who do you blame in this situation?
Well, I think a lot of people are missing the fact with Thibodeau. I think he should lose his job over this, if not Layden as well. I don't think they're helping the situation. I didn't think there were good choices to begin with. I think he was given too much power when he was brought on by Glenn Taylor. I am not a fan of drama, so the Jimmy Butler thing, on one hand, kind of annoys me. On the other hand, I know what he's getting at. Cat looked horrible in the playoffs. He played no D. And I think he's starting to coast more and more, whereas I used to be really impressed with him. And I think Wiggins just needs to be put away. Traded something. I don't know. Can we get free Wi-Fi for him? I don't know. about J.J. Barea. Can we just trade Barea for some good internet connection in Target Center? But that's my opinion. Yes, he's being a baby. He's not the best way to it, but maybe they'll wake up. If the third stringers kick their butt in practice, then maybe the starters need to sit down and learn a lesson and step it up.
Karen, thanks.
I don't think Tibbs is doing that.
Yeah, Karen, thanks for the call. She brings up a lot of the problems that they're experiencing. And, I mean, Where do you start? I mean, you got great superstars, but if they're not bringing it to the table, it's just more frustration. It's going to be a long season for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's take go back to the phone lines. Kevin, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts? Who do you blame in this situation?
Well, I think Karen touched on it a little bit. My point on this whole thing is I love what Jimmy Butler did. It's time somebody in this town calls out the people and players in this town. It's ridiculous, the mediocrity we have in this town. This guy wants to win. This guy's calling out the big cat and Wiggins to play. These guys are not bringing it every night. They are not playing.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Appreciate it. So that's
thanks, Kevin.
Two blaming Jimmy Butler here. So, or blaming the Timberwolves here. They're siding with Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Little surprising. Bob has called in. Bob, thanks for the call. Who do you blame in this situation? You side with Jimmy or you're siding with the Wolves?
No, I got to tell you, I'm siding with Jimmy a little bit on this. I think he's a passionate, excellent player. And when Paul said, does this happen in the NFL? And even if you look at baseball, the difference here is in the NBA, they have to play as a team because they're playing offense and defense every couple of minutes. And these guys have to put it on for 48 minutes and really put it on. And I get the feeling that between Wiggins and Towns, I don't know for sure, I think that's where Jimmy Butler's frustrated, that these guys are big, top-notch players, and they're not coming to the table every night for 48 minutes. Hmm.
Bob, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Yeah,
thanks, Bob.
A lot of people side. This is kind of surprising me a little bit, Paul, that so many people are siding with Jimmy Butler on this one, but a lot of the texters also saying Tibbs has bungled this horribly. Where's Glenn Taylor? People have to get fired. This needs to be over immediately. Ryan Saunders should take over in Milwaukee tomorrow night and right the ship. It's time for Glenn Taylor to drop the hammer. Same thing happened in Chicago. People are fired up. You know,
hey, Adam?
Yeah.
I'm just curious, your opinion, is this a personality conflict that Jimmy is not getting along with Cat and Wiggins, or is this a performance issue that he just wants them to up their game? Where do you come
clearly
down on
he's
this?
Been well he's been frustrated with their performance. That is absolutely 100% clear. Did he do this the right way? Is this the right way to go about things? Absolutely not. But is there something there? I think there is. I mean, Jimmy Butler sees there's problems in the locker room, And, you know, what's going to happen, I don't know. But the drama continues. All I know, it's time for the Wixon Jewelers time check, Paul. I'm fired up. Get me out of here. The Wixon Jewelers time is now 5:50. Wixon Jewelers, proud to be an authorized dealer for the world's most distinguished watch brands. Wixon Jewelers, baby.
Paul and Adam, back with you to say goodbye. And Falker, my 88-year-old father here in Lancaster, PA. Dad, thank you for joining us today. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, thank you for having me on your show. And a big thank you to all the people who listened to me and wrote in kind words. I believe you must be the children or grandchildren of what Tom Brokaw called the greatest generation. Thank you again.
Thank you, Dad. Appreciate that. Adam, thank you for making a little time here for Dad to share his stories.
Absolutely.
I do appreciate that. Everything else going on.
That was fantastic. Fantastic hour radio, and great to hear his stories. And, boy, I'll tell you what, me 3 hours with you, I think I make Jordana look great. I'll tell you that. I think her job quite safe. I get fired up. Paul, I can't help myself. You know me, when Wolves basketball is the topic, Dan knows, he's shaking his head yes, I get fired up.
And it's all above my pay grade. I don't pretend to understand it all. I just told a listener who said Paul is clueless when it comes to Jimmy Butler, and that's true. I mean, the whole thing just baffles me. But
it's fascinating, though. That's the thing. I mean, it's you look at it and you can laugh, and you look at the Timberwolves and just the 30 years of mediocrity, and that's generous. Just all the troubles that that program has had, and just when you think we're turning the corner and making something happen, then it's just always something. It's always something.
So you're telling me we have a chance?
Yeah. Hey, the season starts next Wednesday. It can only get better, right?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I just wonder if it's going to increase the interest in the team and get more butts in the seats. I mean, if nothing else, to behold the spectacle.
Hey, if there's a chance the guys on the court are going to have a fist fight with themselves, their own team, I'd pay to see that. No problem.
WWF.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Adam Carter, Paul Douglas, thanks for sticking around today. Jordan will be back tomorrow. Big thanks to Dan Cook, as always. 6 o'clock news coming up with Laura Oakes right here on 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.